Amen. The Bible record of Joseph is remarkable. It is unique, and yet it's common. Probably none of us have been sold into slavery by our family. Probably none of us have been falsely accused of sexual assault and then sent to prison on false charges. But many of us, most of us, have experiences of disappointment and discouragement and suffering by family or co-workers or people around us. And very few of us have escaped the wounds that come through the hands of people. Suffering, disappointment, hurt by those around us. As a result of that, as we continue to look at the life of Joseph, we can identify with Joseph in his sufferings and find hope in God's presence, even in the midst of those sufferings. Genesis chapter 40 is not about some new suffering that comes into Joseph's life. It's about the same old suffering that continues on and on and on. It doesn't go away. Things might improve for a while. Circumstances might become a little more positive. But then, as we think of our own lives, we're right back where we were. Right back in that suffering. Right back in the hardship and the challenges of living. And no relief and no rescue. It seems like in our own lives that oftentimes we find ourselves in the prison of suffering. Folks, this is where Joseph finds himself here in Genesis chapter 40. In truth, there are events taking place in this chapter that will be the turning point in the life of Joseph. But Joseph doesn't know it. Joseph doesn't see it. He finds himself at the end of this chapter in the very same place where it began. He's in prison, and there's no apparent prospect of release or rescue from prison. That in itself raises questions for us this morning. For example, what is God doing when He makes us wait and wait and wait and wait for our deliverance? Why would a loving, sovereign God leave us stuck in a painful situation of suffering when He could easily solve our problems and get us out? Why do we have to go through difficulties that go on and on and on and on? This is where we find Joseph, and this is where we often find ourselves. Now, our response is often the same response as the world around us. We complain, we grumble, we get angry, we blame others, we get bitter, we seek revenge, we threaten, we fight against people, we fight against God. And brothers and sisters, the clear lesson that God would have us learn from Genesis chapter 40 is this, that God is working through the disappointments of life, and He wants us to trust Him. All that God does, all that God works in our lives as His people, has this purpose, one of many, but has this purpose, that God wants us to trust Him. Because God is greatly glorified when we trust Him and we depend upon Him. Now, how do we do that? Let's start in the last part of chapter 39 and then work our way through Genesis chapter 40, because there are truths here in God's Word that will help us this morning. So go back to the end of chapter 39 and notice, first of all, that the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So Joseph is in prison. He's been falsely accused. He's been unjustly treated, and he now lands in prison. In fact, according to chapter 40, verse 15, he's in a dungeon. And so there he is again. He's in a pit, a dungeon, a prison. And where is God in all this? You see, folks, we're often quick to see God in the good things of life. Sometimes we see God in the questionable things of life. But where is God in the unfair things of life? Where's God in the unjust things of life? Where is God in the dungeons and the pits and the prisons of life? And yet we're not left to wonder in the life of Joseph, because we see clearly, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 23 says, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Do you see that, folks? The Lord was with Joseph. That's where God was. God never left Joseph. God was with Joseph. As a matter of fact, the Lord was with Joseph in the family troubles back in Canaan. The Lord was with Joseph in the pit where his brothers threw him. The Lord was with Joseph in the Midianite caravan as they traveled to Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar knew that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph in the midst of temptation. The Lord was with Joseph when he was dragged to the dungeon. And now the Lord continues to be with Joseph. And Joseph knew it. Joseph saw the hand of God working in his life in every situation. And in what could have been the most dreary, dreadful, dangerous situations, the Scriptures tell us that Joseph prospered. In whatever he did, the Lord was with him, and he prospered. And because of this, he was freed then to be used by God in the lives of the people around him. And of all places, Joseph prospered in prison. Now, how could he do this? How could this happen? Well, first and foremost, Joseph responded to God. He lived his life in the presence of God, and he lived his life under the promises of God. Go back to Genesis 39 and look with me at verse 9. Genesis 39 and look at verse 9, because Joseph makes a statement here that reveals his heart in the midst of temptation. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, folks, God was real to Joseph. By the way, God is real whether we believe it or not. Amen. Whether we respond to it or not, God is real. That's the reality of God. And yet we see here in Joseph's life that he lived his life in the reality of God. God was continually in his thoughts and actions, and every situation and every circumstance in his life was seen through the window of God's presence and God's promises. We see it in this very clear statement over and over. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And folks, the Lord had made promises to his great-grandfather Abraham, and the Lord had made promises to his grandfather Isaac, and the Lord had made promises to his father Jacob, and Joseph believed those promises, and he lived in those promises. And so Joseph could trust the Lord no matter what the situation. And his trust and his dependence on God brought him closer and closer to God. And folks, make no mistake about it. When you think about the life of Joseph, it took the pit near Dothan to do it. It took slavery in Potiphar's house to do it. It took the false accusations of Potiphar's wife to do it. And it took the dark dungeon of prison to do it. See, I believe that Joseph knew exactly what the psalmist meant when the psalmist said to God in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." False accusations put Joseph in prison, but it was the Lord who was with him and who nurtured his soul even in the darkness of prison. And Joseph was able, by God's grace, to see God there in prison and to read God in the circumstances and the situations and to be used by God in them. Brothers and sisters, when that prison experience comes in your life, it is quick and easy to feel like you've been forgotten by God, but there is nothing further from the truth. You're in the prison because God wants you in the prison. God put you there so that you might know Him better and be used by Him. Hold your place in Genesis and turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to see the words of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1. As you turn there, here's the context. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. Some believe that he actually is physically chained to a Roman guard. He's been falsely accused by the Jews. He's working his way through the Roman legal system. He's lost his freedom, and he now writes to the Philippians to encourage them. Every time I look at this passage, I have to smile because Paul's the one in prison, and he writes to the Philippians to encourage them. But he does. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Are you kidding me, Paul? You were falsely accused. You were arrested. You stood before the rulers of the day. You were shipped off to Rome. You were shipwrecked. And all these things happened. You're threatened when you get to Jerusalem and when you get to Rome. All these things are happening in your life. And he says to these Philippian believers, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." You see, God put him in prison so that he could be a witness and a testimony to the Roman guards who were with him every day. And people came to Christ because the Lord put Paul in prison. And Paul's focus was the Lord, his sovereign control, his grace working in his life, and then that grace being shared by Paul with others. You see, Paul lived in the reality of God and God's presence and God's promises. And folks, it made a difference in his life. That same difference we see in the life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph trusted God, and we must do the same. We're back in Genesis chapter 40, and there's a second truth we can learn from this chapter. I want you to notice that Joseph served others. Genesis chapter 40, verse 4, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while." Now let's understand what's happening here in Genesis chapter 40. Go to verse 1. Let's understand the context. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. So what we see here is that two very important officers of Pharaoh offend Pharaoh, and they end up in the same prison with Joseph. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. We don't know what they did, but whatever they did, it was serious. And the captain of the guard, who, by the way, is Potiphar, the captain of the guard charges Joseph with them. Now, Joseph already has oversight over all the prisoners. The keeper of the prison did that. And now the captain of the guard, Potiphar, gives Joseph the responsibility to these very important prisoners. You know, when I think about that, God's favor and Joseph's faithfulness while in the house of Potiphar continues. We see it in his life. And it brings him into fellowship with these two very important prisoners. Now, because Joseph lived in the presence of God and he lived in the promises of God, then he would be used by God in the lives of these men. In Joseph's life, when I look at these scriptures, something that I don't see in his life, I don't see resentment. I don't see hostility. I don't see a desire for revenge in Joseph's life. You see, folks, his focus is not the circumstances. The Lord was first and foremost in Joseph's life, and because of this, he was able to serve others. Now look at verse 5. Genesis 40, verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. And so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" Now I want you to see this. Joseph cared for people. He cared for them. These men were Egyptians. Joseph had no bonds with them. He had never met them before. We have no record in the scripture. He could have easily left them with their own troubles, their own worries. He could have gone about his work. I mean, Joseph had enough to worry about himself. He's in prison. He's been given responsibility for all those prisoners. Oftentimes, in the midst of suffering, we turn to ourselves. We look at ourselves. We look at our trouble. We look at our situation. We look at the struggle that we're going through in our lives. We focus on our own fears and our worries. And our situation becomes the all-consuming purpose of our lives. And we give ourselves and we give our attention and time and effort to the situation that we're in. And most of the time, our attention is on how to get out of this situation. But I want you to see here that Joseph had responsibility for these men, and he made it very personal. Above his own desires, above his own needs, he made a choice to serve them. Though he had been given that responsibility, he made the choice of how that would work and what that would look like in his life. God brought these men into his life, and Joseph would care for them. And so when he walks in one morning and he sees that their faces are sad, he asks them, "Why are you so sad?" He cared for them. He looked at them. He interacted with them. and this care for others would now open a door that would change Joseph's life and the lives of many other people. So why are they so sad? Look at verse 8. And they said to him, "We each had a dream, and there's no interpreter." And so Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." You see, he's living in the reality of God. Everything that he says, every choice he's making, he's living in the reality of God. So they both have a dream. There's no interpreter until Joseph walks in. And here then we see Joseph's care and his concern. Here's Joseph's heart. He will help these men. He will use the ability that God has given him, and he will trust God to use him in their lives. Now think about this for a moment, because you couldn't blame Joseph if he would have said nothing. We had a dream and there's no interpreter. Joseph could have said, "I'm done with interpreting dreams. I've had enough of interpreting dreams," because if you think about his life, whenever he interpreted dreams, he always got in trouble. And so he could have said, "No more of that. No more of those dream things." But yet this ability from God given to him for a purpose. And Joseph now serves these men without regard to himself. You see, Joseph is trusting God. He's depending upon God. And what happens? Well, the chief butler tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets. Let's pick up the interpretation, verse 12. "And Joseph said to him," this is the interpretation of it, "the three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." And so the chief butler, or the chief cup bearer, would be restored in favor to Pharaoh. And then the chief baker tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets. Look at verse 18. "So Joseph answered and said," this is the interpretation of it, "the three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." The chief baker would be put to death by Pharaoh. Now, the interpretation of these dreams were accurate. See, this was an ability that God gave to Joseph. It was true. The chief butler, or the cup bearer, was restored to his position, and the chief baker was hanged. And yet, folks, Joseph served both of these men, and he served them with care and with truth, and he was faithful to these men even when it was hard. The lesson, I believe, for us is this. Look around. Look around this morning. There are people who are a part of your life, and whatever situation God has put you in, God has put you there with others. And the others may be the very reason why God has put you in that situation. Open your eyes to the needs of others. Open your ears to the cries of help from others. Care for them. Serve them. This is a clear way that you can trust God. There's one more truth in this passage. Joseph was forgotten, but not finished. Look at verse 23. "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." So when Joseph interpreted the dream of the chief butler, he said this to him in verse 14. Look at verse 14. He said, "But remember me when it's well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Now, a few comments here. Joseph was so sure of his interpretation by the power of God that he asked the chief butler to remember him when he was freed. And yet, we get this indication from these words by Joseph that Joseph now sees his way out. If the chief butler, we'll put it in his words, if the chief butler will tell those in authority about me, then surely I'll be vindicated, and surely I'll be released, and surely I'll be out of this terrible place. You know, folks, sometimes it's very easy to put our hopes in our plan, in our purposes. And especially in the midst of mistreatment and suffering, we can do this. And though we've been walking by faith in our lives, and though we've been trusting God and we've been serving others, the suffering is hard and the situation is difficult. And we see the way out, and our hope is turned there to the way out. And it's here, I believe, that we clearly see the weakness of Joseph. And it's here that I think we can clearly see our connection with him. You know, all through this narrative and all through this record of Joseph's life, I mean, you see Joseph making these decisions, not always wise decisions. Back when he was young in his family, I think some of the things that he did and the way that he did it helped instigate those responses by his brothers. And yet, through these years of slavery in Potiphar's house, through the temptation, and now in prison, here's the indication of the weakness of Joseph. And it's our connection with him. He wanted out of that place. And folks, what can we say? All of us would want out of that place. There's none of us who would want to be in prison. And yet I think that Joseph recognized and realized that God had placed him there. I was stolen from my family. I'm here unjustly. This is not my fault. Remember me when all is well with you, he said to the butler. And when Joseph saw that chief butler taken from the prison, I'm sure that in his mind, his thinking was this: this is it. This is my way out. God, I've done what you wanted me to do, and now you will rescue me. It didn't happen. It did not take place. Only silence. Verse 23 says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Chapter 41, verse 1 says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Instead of being rescued and remembered and rewarded, Joseph was forgotten for 2 more years. 2 more years in the prison. 2 more years in the dungeon. 2 full years forsaken and forgotten. And yet God was not finished with that prison in Joseph's life. You see, folks, the work and the preparation of Joseph's life was not complete. God had amazing things in mind for this man, but God would continue his schooling with Joseph. Joseph had to finish. It's like his seminary was the prison. And Joseph kept trusting and depending on the Lord because the Lord was with him. Faith Baptist Church, listen carefully. God has you where you are for His purpose. Your marriage, your children, your job, your health have come through the hands of God. And the question is this: how are you responding to God? You'll not graduate from God's school with complaining or resentment or bitterness or revenge, but you will graduate and be used by God when you trust God and depend upon God's faithful work in your life. God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. God has not left you. God is working faithfully to bring you to a tender, sensitive, humble, close fellowship with Him. That's what God's doing. Let's bow our heads.